Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today, my guest is the CEO of a local software company that has made a big offer to companies in the struggling economies of Southern Europe. Greece, Portugal, and Spain are all struggling mightily from a sovereign debt problem in each of their countries. For Spain and Portugal, it's a real estate bubble and banking bailout problem, very similar to what was experienced in the United States. For Greece, it's been government debt from pension and entitlement obligations and overspending. My guest today is Paul Lewicki, CEO of Statsoft, a company that makes business analytics softwares. He recently wrote an open letter to software CEOs across the United States, urging them to provide free software to companies in those struggling nations of the Eurozone. He joins us today to tell us why he made an offer like this and why he thinks it will make a difference in the economies of these struggling countries. Paul Lewicki, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Very nice to be here.
You made an interesting offer to American software CEOs, basically urging them to provide free software to companies located in the struggling countries of the Eurozone. This would be Greece, Portugal, and Spain. What led you to make this offer?
Two things, I would say. Number one, terrible financial situation, economic situation in which those countries are right now, and the real need to do something to jumpstart the recovery. It is not happening right now. It's still becoming worse and worse as we speak. The second thing is we being in this business of optimization of how business works via software can appreciate the importance that tools like tools that our company offers can produce, the benefits that it can produce for companies. It is supposed to allow companies to use resources more efficiently and, in a sense, do more with less, something that they need in order to be competitive.
You know, of course, when we think of those economies, we think of them as perhaps not the most competitive economies for a variety of reasons. In Greece, it's been unsustainable pension obligations and government spending. In Spain and Portugal, what you've seen is classic real estate bubble. The governments have taken on the debts from the private banks of those areas. Are the businesses not taking advantage of the sort of efficiencies that business analytics software offers?
Well, you are, of course, perfectly right about the problems and reasons for those problems. We will not be able to change the root causes for the troubles that they are in right now with our software. But what we can change is that we can change what these economies are producing. They would recover and they would be able to get a fresh start only if they have some resources to work with, if they generate profits. They cannot generate profits right now because they are so inefficient, and also they do not have tools to make them more efficient. And yes, those are not the most advanced economies in Europe, of course. However, what is paradoxical about this situation that they are in is that they have quite educated workforce and they have sufficient infrastructure to take advantage of those modern tools. The problem is, and that's where paradox lies, is that they do not have any resources to acquire those very tools that would allow them to be more competitive. They are competing on the international market. They, of course, unlike many economies in the world, large economies in the world that get sufficient market and sufficient place to sell their products domestically, they can change things around only if they can export. They are part of European Union. They are competing with European companies that are much more efficient, much more modern the way they are running things. You need advanced software in order to do that. That's the component of this recipe for success that they do not have right now.
And right now, with the sovereign debt problems, credit is at a premium to modernize. If those companies recognize the need to modernize, their access to credit would be limited, would it not?
Yes, very much so. Moreover, many of those companies have now ongoing obligations related to maintaining software systems that they have right now. Every modern company uses a lot of software, not only analytics software that our company offers, but also enterprise resource planning, database management system, factory automation systems, many, many components that are absolutely necessary for those companies to survive. Many of them need to turn off some of those systems because they cannot afford to pay maintenance fees. our hope is, of course, not only that we would turn things around with one category of software, analytics software, that our company offers, but that we would encourage others, or in a sense produce some social pressure, exert that pressure on large software companies in the US and Europe to do the same thing that we are doing right now, eliminate for some of those companies maintenance fees and let them use this cash for things that are just absolutely indispensable for their survival right now.
Now, you wrote an open letter to the CEOs of the U.S. software companies, basically outlining this idea and the idea of giving free software to the companies of these countries. What was the reaction from U.S. software makers and from companies in those countries?
Do you want to hear good news or bad news first?
Let's hear the good news.
Well, the good news is that the response of recipients of this program has been quite enthusiastic. We do not need to explain to the companies that would be receiving our software and is receiving our software what the value of that is. So there are a lot of takers. The level that is almost reaches the limits of what we can support. With other givers and perhaps support on the part of U.S. companies that would potentially join the program, I would say that it's a little bit slow or a little disappointing. The reason for that is that it is, one can say that software doesn't, making a little bit more copies of the software doesn't cost software company anything, and therefore we are perhaps better suited to offer something free to those countries than, for example, companies that build hardware, tractors, or computers. However, many of those software companies, they are now receiving consistent flow of revenues for maintenance fees from those countries. And they are very concerned about reduction of that. So there is a component of, in this program, that some of my colleagues, CEOs of other companies, are very concerned about, that it would involve some loss of ongoing revenue.
Now, your letter mentioned giving away, I assume all this is very much proprietary software. Mm-hmm. But I think your letter also said, you know, this is just to get them started. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, what you do about maintenance fees down the road and updates and servicing your proprietary software, that's your issue. I mean, you weren't talking about the maintenance fees, were you?
Well, these maintenance fees cost money, and some of those companies sell software only for maintenance fees. The software is being leased. That's a very common...
Right.
So something that I'm trying to explain to my colleagues in other software companies is that it should not be perceived as purely giving without any expectation of receiving anything in return. I think that there is also positive from the business standpoint side that if these companies go out of business, the situation, economic situation in those countries worsens, it's not only the suffering of people who live there will continue and deepen. There are people who cannot get enough health care that they need. There are people who do not get enough nutrition in those countries.
When you're looking at unemployment rates at 20-30% in some of these countries.
Right. Yeah. In some of those countries, more than 25 or 30% of people cannot afford enough nutrition, they don't have money for groceries to support their families, this terrible situation. So not only this is a great, I would say, and most people would agree with me, return on investment, but also these companies will not go out of business. They would become thankful, grateful, perhaps faithful, loyal customers to those who help them during the time of crisis.
And a lot of the companies you're talking about in these countries, they're going to be the backbone of the ultimate debt repayment for a lot of these countries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this debt repayment will not happen if they do not have resources. So we should think about it as a kind of long term, a little bit in categories of Marshall Plan, that this investment that will cost us inevitably some money, some cash right now, these companies eventually will become successful if everything goes in the right direction. And these companies will be producing for us additional market that otherwise will stop existing. There's also general threat to the European economy related to the
whole currency. The whole currency situation
right now. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Dr. Lewicki, you've heard from some of these companies that are interested in your software. How dire is the need for your software or other business analytics software from what you've seen from the companies you've been speaking with?
Well, we, StatSoft, produces advanced analytics and so-called predictive analytics software, that allow companies to monitor efficiencies and inefficiencies within their organization, and software that allows them to make absolutely crucial predictions that prevent a company from running inefficiently, something like, for example, specific demand forecasting software, or software that allows companies to detect fraud, and other categories of analytics software that translate, if it is properly installed and used, translate immediately in significant cash savings.
Now, as I understand it, your company is doing everything from like computerized quality controls, mm-hmm. is that right, to watching the company's emissions, mm-hmm. for example, you know, the fossil fuels they're using.
Exactly. Software that allows the combustion process and, for example, fossil burning power plants to work more efficiently and release to the air less pollution. Those are very, very important for business and for social reasons categories of software. But there are very many other equally indispensable categories of software that those businesses need. Some of them related to the basic computer plumbing of the large corporation, such as large database management system software or enterprise resource planning software that ties inventory control with other financial aspects of the operation of the company, including payroll and cash flow.
Well, that sounds like almost 1990s technology. I mean, that's American businesses started making that conversion 10, 15, 20 years ago,
one
right?
One cannot, of course, run business these days without those categories of software.
And yet a lot of these companies still don't have those sorts of controls in place?
Well, they do have them. Perhaps enterprise resource planning and database management systems, they do have them. They do not, perhaps they've been maintaining them at the lower level, and therefore they don't have newer versions of the software. They would benefit from having more newer version of the software, of course, and that's one of our hopes when we are trying to promote this campaign to makers of manufacturers of other categories of software do the same.
My guest today is Paul Lewicki, the CEO of StatSoft, a company that makes business analytic software. He recently wrote an open letter to software CEOs here in the United States urging them to provide free software to companies in struggling nations of the Eurozone, Greece, Portugal, and Spain for the most part. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, I'm going to take a step back as I remember you as a longtime faculty member here at the University of Tulsa. You left the faculty a few years ago basically to be the CEO of StatSoft. I think that has been a business you've had over a number of years. How did a cognitive psychologist get into, you know, everything from cognitive data mining to all this business analytics software? Your area of research was really interesting because you're looking at how people learn to do tasks that they're doing, as I understand it, unconsciously.
Right. Most of my research over those years, and that's research actually that I still continue, even though there's a lot of my time is consumed by StatSoft, had to do with understanding how humans acquire expertise, how we develop skills that we have to do things. And one of the very important lessons that we learned from research done here in our lab is that we are extremely sophisticated information processors and information acquirers. Humans. We, outside of conscious awareness, are sensitive to much more information that we are consciously aware of. And this information is being converted, to speak perhaps in non-technical language, they are being converted into very, very complex patterns and very complex recipes, one could say, that are used subsequently in our judgment, in our decisions. probably it doesn't take much to agree to realize that every aspect of human information processing involves thousands of very complex operations performed on information that we do not consciously control, because our consciousness is relatively slow, can be focused only on one thing at a time, whereas every word that I'm saying right now when I'm answering your questions is, of course, supported by thousands of processes that I do not consciously understand and do not consciously experience. Now, this observation led us to something that was perhaps also realized by a number of people dealing with the business problems and scientific problems, namely that we, in order to be efficient as a scientist or efficient as a business manager, need to draw conclusions based on models that are much more complex than an engineer can develop based on his or her knowledge about domain. So in other words, we need to have computers process huge amounts of information and find patterns that are so complex, patterns in the sense relations between very many variables that are too complex for us humans to be able to consciously articulate and transfer from one person to another. And that's contemporary data mining. And some of perhaps the strength of software that StatsSoft produces perhaps is based on some secrets or inspirations that we in research on unconscious information processing and cognitive science research uncovered in the cognitive research lab.
If I can sort of reflect what you're saying, say if a person's making a decision, there might be two or three elements that they're conscious of, but there'll be other elements that they're unconscious of that helps inform the decision. Is that
exactly? Moreover, there's a lot of research in psychology that shows that those factors that affect our decisions that we are aware of may sometimes be illusion.
So right, I would say a lot of the unconscious things would be faulty information.
Right, probably both of them, but sometimes we think that we are making our decision because of something that that we understand, because of the reasons that we are aware of, whereas the real reasons for our decisions could be something else. There's a lot of experiments showing that there is discrepancy between the two. And this discrepancy depends on them or is caused by a number of factors, biases, social stereotypes, and other things, but also something very technical and relatively simple, namely our consciousness is relatively simple. Our non-consciousness is incredibly, incredibly complex. If I would ask you, Rich, explain to me, if I was a visitor from another planet, who would not know by looking at facial features how to realize that the person that we are looking at is male or female?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would perhaps answer some kind of, give some very stereotypical answers about
anatomical differences, obviously.
Right. However, it turns out that what we do when we make those types of judgment, the process of social perception, is extremely, extremely complex. And we can determine differences, identify differences between male and female facial features, even based on extremely hard to identify tiny differences between proportions and different details of human face. The same thing is about...
I would say maybe an example would be if you just saw their eyes, you could say just from bushy eyebrows to, you know, cultured eyebrows. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. There's all sorts of things that we don't even know we're looking at.
But there are very many things that we wouldn't even know on the conscious level where to start. You know, some eyes appear to express positive, and some expressions of our eyes negative affect. Well, it is most of us humans living in one culture would be able without any problems to determine what is what, but it would be extremely difficult to explain, to articulate to somebody what exactly it is. Actually, my favorite example that I've been giving many times to my students was a specific skill, namely skills that radiologists who read X-ray pictures of different parts of human body, how they are being trained. They are not trained in analytic way by instructing medical students to look for some very well-defined specific pattern. if it was possible, then perhaps computers would be able to read those pictures. This extremely low level of success of all these attempts to make computer analyze mammograms, for example. And what radiologists, how radiologists are being trained is by being exposed to thousands of pictures showing tumors versus showing some other imperfections in the image, and based on that, they non-consciously derive skills that they later on use in their information in their real job and determining that this is dangerous, this is not dangerous. There's a lot of very good examples showing that expertise relies on patterns, expertise that make some people who are experts in a particular domain make consistently good judgments, relies on skills that they cannot articulate. And it is a whole range of very good examples, even including managers. To be a good manager and good person, a person who can make judgments pertaining to human resource management right now, for example, in an accurate and inaccurate way, those are skills that cannot be acquired by reading 10 golden rules how to be a good manager. You need to be exposed to very, very many situations and derived outside of conscious awareness, something that would later represent, in a sense, I don't like this word, but gut feeling about things, which in some people is more accurate and some people less accurate. This is exactly what modern data mining is doing, namely making computer play the role of human non-conscious information processing, take as input very large number of variables, find very complex patterns and convert them into something that allow the computer later on to make predictions about demand for a particular number of services or amount of or products tomorrow in the store, something that is absolutely necessary and makes a difference between store being profitable and unprofitable.
You know, when you talk about the human element being that gut that leads you more or less to the right decision, it's experience, it's just a huge number of interactions that help develop that where, oh, I think it's going to be this. Oh, no, it wasn't. The result turned out different. That goes into your experience. Mm-hmm. For a computer analytic software, I would think that just the number of calculations would just be so great to get to a point where those unconscious processes were a part of what you're learning.
Exactly.
Through the software.
This computer that all of us carry in our heads, this is an extremely, extremely high speed, extremely high performance computer. But now the progress in hardware and computer hardware and computer software allow us to do things that even 10 years ago were not possible. In the production process, like in the process of producing computer chips from silicon wafers, companies register in the process of production thousands of variables. Those variables, if they are properly used and leveraged, hide extremely important information about whether the batch of those chips will produce chips that would be good later on or bad. And therefore, if we can make this prediction early on in the process, that can save companies like chip manufacturers millions and millions of dollars. If we didn't have this type of technology, then you wouldn't be using iPads and iPhones today and smartphones, because they would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, because cost of producing those components would be incomparably higher. This is one of the examples showing why advanced analytics is so indispensable for companies to be competitive and to survive.
Now, you've made an offer from your company. Have you had companies that have agreed to take your software? What are you in the process of talking with those companies?
We have at the beginning, of course, the screening process to make sure that we are serving first those companies that need it most, and also those companies where our software would make most difference in terms of employment. Employment is, of course, what drives the economy. If we can keep less people losing job, or if we could hire more people, that's what turns things around.
You know, it's funny. I think the popular conception is when you have software like this, that automatically means there are going to be pink slips for the company. Is that necessarily the case?
That's not true. That's exactly not true, and that's something that makes us feel very good. It rather translates the work of those people who are there into more value. It increases productivity. The motto of our company is to making world more productive. We make world more productive by translating every minute of the work of a person into more outcome, into more output. And that is what makes use of analytic software and many other categories of software perhaps good in very many respects, not only for the bottom line of the company, but also for employment within company. There is really not much evidence showing that using modern software just allows companies to replace people with machines. It rather allows companies to convert time of those people into more value.
Now, so are you talking with companies in Portugal, Spain, Greece, all three countries at this point?
That's right.
All right. Well, let's hope you have more companies take up your challenge. Do you have hopes that some of these software companies will come along at some point?
We certainly have, but also a very important part of this campaign, and one of the reasons why I'm very glad to talk to the media about it, is that we would like very much to encourage our colleagues in other software companies in the developed world to do the same. Of course, analytic software that our company produces is very important, but with analytic software alone, we will not make a big difference. Those companies need those other categories of software. If they do not get them, or if they stop using them because they cannot afford annual maintenance fees, there will be probably limited success and limited outcome of what we would be able to do with analytic software alone. We are part of entire computer infrastructure that needs to exist in those companies. And the big difference can be made only not only Statsoft, but also other companies that produce, as I mentioned, database management systems, enterprise resource planning systems, and factory automation systems work together, and that's what we are hoping for.
And do you fear that if the worst predictions about the Eurozone crisis comes true, I mean, that will affect your business in a whole lot of other countries that are not necessarily in the dire shape that the sort of southern flank of the Eurozone is at this particular point?
Right, and that's true because economies of the world now are every year more and more interconnected. Economic downturn, especially as dramatic as this one, will not stay in one isolated area. Will pull down other first European economies and then the rest of the world with them. So that's something that we need to be concerned about.
All right. Well, Paul Lewicki, we appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Lewicki is the CEO of Statsoft, a company that makes business analytics software. He recently wrote an open letter to software CEOs across the United States, urging them to provide free software to companies in the struggling nations of the Eurozone. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.